When you play recorded music, you can turn up and down the volume, and you can adjust the bass or treble, and that's about it. Bruce Pavitt is the co-founder of the record label Sub Pop, and he thinks that limited engagement is pretty boring. So he and inventor Adam Farish have developed a new music format called 8-Stem. It allows the listener to remix the elements of songs. Ross Reynolds asked Bruce Pavitt whether he thinks listeners are bored with music.
Well, I've been observing my son. I have a son, Cedar. He's 17 years old. He hasn't purchased music in 2 or 3 years. He has a Spotify account, and he'll listen to music that way. But what he will purchase every single day are games that are engaging. He's looking for engagement. And I really feel that this is kind of a generational thing, and that young people are motivated by engagement and social recognition. So with our format, people will be able to remix and customize music and then post it on social media. And I'm betting that my son Cedar actually breaks down and buys his first song in the past 3 years. We think that this is going to generate significant revenue for musicians and hopefully revitalize the music industry, which, as you know, has been in free fall for quite a while now.
Now, Adam, does this improve on the music listening experience or just make it different?
Historically, music has been a passive experience, exactly as you said, as you press play, wait for the song to finish, and then move on to the next song. The experience of engagement and the experience of listening to music is now going to be more than just listening. It's going to be interacting. It's going to be moving parts around and personalizing it to fit whatever your personal narrative dictates. The ability to actually engage in that way is a market improvement over the experience that we're offering listeners right now.
And just for people not familiar with recording technology, most recordings are done with separate tracks for the different instruments, the different vocalists. And as I understand it, what you're doing with 8-Stem is giving people control over that, Bruce?
Yes. People will be able to manipulate different tracks. They'll be able to mute various instruments. Ideally, they'll be able to add some of their own custom content.
And it's called 8-Stem. Why, Adam?
Stem files is a producer exchange format. So when you record music in the recording studio, every single instrument, every vocal, everything that's recorded is on its own separate audio channel with nothing else on it. And as you exchange those files for people to work on larger audio production projects, you distill the tracks down into groupings of audio. So stem files are groupings of audio elements that relate together. So instead of having a kick drum, a snare drum, and a hi-hat and all these different drum channels, you just have drums. And instead of having backing vocals and lead vocals, you just have vocals. And instruments are all grouped on one, which is instruments. And that allows you to interface with all of those instruments at once through a very simple user experience.
So these days, people might be recording in 24 or 48 tracks, but you're making it 8 tracks. You're kind of simplifying it for someone who's not familiar with this. Let's hear how it sounds.
Yeah. Well, let me pull this up here. This is a song by Bob Marley called No Woman, No Cry that everybody knows. So if I started right here with just the vocals of this song, and that would give you an idea.
I remember when we used to sit.
And I'm going to add some tablas down here.
In the government yard in Trenchtown.
Now those tablas are elements that I put in there.
The firelight.
Bass.
That would burning.
And now something totally different. And I could just take those vocals out.
So some of that was from the original Bob Marley track, and some of that you were able to add, which is very interesting to me. So, Bruce, this allows someone to be part of the mix.
Absolutely. And we're hoping that some artists will actually open up the vocal channels. And our hunch is that, let's say, I'm envisioning a high school student on a school bus with a little bit of downtime, adds some lyrics or some rhymes, busts a few rhymes over a track, and then maybe he's referencing what's going on at school. And it goes on social media, and 10 minutes later, his friends are listening to this custom version of a song where this person is adding his own take on his or her own reality.
Why would a musician who painstakingly produces this work and puts it together in this particular fashion want music fans to mess with it?
Well, the model is changing for content. The model is going from a manufacturing model historically, where you hire an engineer, you go in the studio, which is essentially a factory, and you crank out a widget or an album. And the way that technology works is very different. That's what has been a huge influence on our thinking behind this, is that musical works are not widgets. They're actually pieces of intellectual property. And if you open up those pieces of intellectual property for user input and then make revisions based on user input, then you have a much stronger ecosystem and you actually begin to crowdsource the shape of the final product. So instead of thinking of this as a closed piece of media, we're actually reopening previously closed pieces of media and opening them up to user input.
So, Bruce, you know a lot of musicians. What are you hearing from them? Are they interested in opening up their music to these kind of remixes and other people adding into it?
Well, my take is that this is most likely going to be more popular with hip-hop and electronic music producers. Songwriters with acoustic guitars may not be interested in this. So that's kind of our baseline, and where we're going to start is primarily with hip-hop and electronic music producers and the edgier end of, let's say, indie rock culture.
If you've got individuals remixing popular music, are you going to have to prevent them from trying to resell it using a track from another musician who did the vocal?
That is a process that is disallowed under our system. So everything that is put out, we're providing the listener with a host of options, and those options are contained and moderated to such a degree that there's no copyright cross-pollination allowed.
Is the musician or producer going to get any money out of this if they allow you to take these tracks and put them into the 8-stem system?
Absolutely. We are an artist-centric company, and that is both Bruce and I both come from an artistic background. I'm a musician myself. And our impetus and motivation behind this was really to provide a service and a new outlet for our peer group to be able to actually continue to generate revenue in their craft. And when we started thinking about this project, we realized, looking historically, that new music formats had come into being to address the specific needs of the culture at the time, from vinyl to cassette tapes to compact discs to MP3s even. Every one of those formats addressed a specific cultural need. And we've been sitting on the digital file format for over 15 years. And the digital file format was novel because it was instantaneous. You no longer had to go to the record store in order to get your music. The generation that is coming into purchasing power right now, instantaneous is not novel. It's standard. That's the way it works. And so the values of that culture are interactivity and recognition. And that's where we began.
Adam Farish is the inventor of a new music format called 8-stem. You also heard Bruce Pavitt, founder of Sub Pop Records. 8-stem goes into beta testing the first week of December, and they expect it to launch for the public early next year. Adam Farish and Bruce Pavitt talked with Ross Reynolds.